Time for a message in the bottle. And from right here in Paradise, we're happy to be joined by Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Hey, Eric.
Hello. How's life in the bubble?
Oh, the bubble. It's wonderful. Life is good. How about yourself?
I'm good. I've been I just got yelled at by my wife for not wearing a sunblock today as I mowed the lawn and stained things that will become a greenhouse. Yeah, I look nice and red.
Oh dear, I'm sorry to hear that. Be safe out there. You don't want to get through the COVIDs and then get all burned and peely.
Well, I was informed that the UV is bad for the COVID, so I was like, well, you know.
All right, so
I don't know.
Sunburn with a bleach chaser, totally you're good to go.
That's right. But you know, other than that, I'm just surrounded by the same sort of stuff you guys are. It's just the general hilarity watching sports try to start, and you know, it was nice to hear that Bob's opening up. I know he was talking about not opening until September or something, but I think Annie probably looked at him and said, "Get out of the house."
I know, I don't doubt that at all.
That's right. So yeah, I mean, it's a very strange time still. Increasingly so. Like, it felt strange before when we were all under strict quarantine, but now that no one knows what to do, it's just it's a very strange thing. But we're all doing our best. We're keeping up at the store. I mean, I must say, people are being great. Everybody's wearing a mask. No one's giving us grief, which is cool because half of our customers these days are coming straight from the airport.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you a little pause. I mean, you know, they sort of generally get that we're paralyzed with fear when they admit that they're, you know, just in from Sarasota or Houston or something like that.
You mean they're not quarantining immediately? What?
Well, I think that their idea of quarantine is they come and they stock up on booze and cheese, which I'm very thankful for, and then they go quarantine. Summer place or whatever. But in between... wherever, you know, Greenville or wherever, you know, far-flung place they're heading. You know, but at the same time, if they didn't, I'd be out of business.
Right.
You know, these guys, you know, what I just saw the other day, that was the Alamoosuc Lodge, you know, their single party that, you know, booked the whole place for July 4th weekend, canceled, you know, things like that. Like, yeah. So, you know, I do thank my lucky stars that we're able to still serve people and be as safe as we are. I mean, that's, you know, it's pretty great. So, but anyway, so hey, everybody, we're moving on to another part of the world and a world tour. This is one of my favorite places in the world, and on these hot days, the produce of this area is one of my favorite things. And that area is Catalunya. So we're moving into the Iberian Peninsula over the next month. The Iberian Peninsula, which is faring about as well as everybody else these days. But fortunately, their wines have not been threatened in the same way that other members of the EU have with tariffs, which is kind of cool. So Catalunya, for those of you who don't know, it's not just the northeastern corner of Spain, but it's also the part of the southern French coastline, right? So if you go into France from Spain, coming, you know, from Barcelona, going up towards Montpellier or whatever, you're going to cross into what the French call the Côte Catalane, and that's their part of Catalunya. Catalunya was, at varying times, its own kingdom, as well as parts of lots of other kingdoms. I like to remind people that because of the Pyrenees Mountains, there's basically only two ways to get into the Iberian Peninsula, via land, at least. Of course, there's the sea. But it's either around the Basque region on the Atlantic side or this area of Catalonia. So it doesn't surprise anyone, I'm sure, to know that. Boy, I mean, the Greeks have been there, the Carthaginians, of course, the Romans, surprise, anywhere where there's wine, we usually find the Romans' footprints. And on and on and on. And so today, the part that we're going to talk about sort of stops at the French border just because of wine laws, but just do be aware that the culture is far more similar on both sides of that current barrier than it is in other parts of Spain. I like to tell the story of when my wife and I were honeymooning in Barcelona, and you're in, you know, these museums, and even though I have a smattering of Spanish amongst my Romance language knowledge, you try to read the little things next to all the displays, and you're immediately confused because the primary language there is Catalan. It's not Spanish. Spanish is the second language there, and of course, even just a couple of years back, there was a real push for autonomy for the Catalan region. So, in as much as it's part of Spain, it's sort of not really at all. The primary wine product, the one that I was referencing before, is cava, right? Cava is the traditional Spanish sparkling wine. It's made in the same style as champagne, which is that two-stage fermentation process. So it can be every bit as elegant as fine champagnes. The grapes that go into it really depend on the producer. You can use a lot of different grapes. In fact, they just legalized, I believe, Pinot Noir is one of the latest ones that they've said you can use in it. But the traditional native grapes that you use are Parellada, Charello, and Macabeo. And you do find, you know, standalone versions of all those grapes, especially Macabeo. You see Macabeo used on both sides of the French and Spanish border, especially in a lot of white blends. But cava, while it can be officially made anywhere in Spain, 99% of it is made basically in and around the city, which is called Saduni de Noia. God, I can never do that because it's not Spanish, it's Catalan.
That's it.
But it's great. It's great. It's this little, like, it's a little, you know, plaza. And overlooking the plaza, there are two immense cava houses, Freixenet. I'm sure everybody knows Freixenet, which is not spelled anything like it sounds. It's Freixenet. Again, Catalan, Freixenet, and Cordonnier. So those are the two big ones. Of course, we do not carry those in Bangor wine. We have a smaller grower cavas, but I love cava, and you know, for anybody who wants to drink something very elegant and wonderful but doesn't want to pay champagne prices, you know, there's several selections that we have, or, you know, it's usually a safe bet anywhere you go if you're looking for some good bubbles to grab a bottle of that. Carrie, may I have a time check, sir?
You got just over 4 minutes left, Eric.
All right, cool. So other things that happen in Catalonia besides cava, of course, they make, as I mentioned, a lot of still versions of some of those white grapes. But there's also really, really intense, amazing red wines. So just west of Barcelona, you find two important regions that I also like to mention, especially to lovers of American wines, because I think that these two regions make wines that Americans can instantly find comfort with. And the two regions basically one surrounds the other. The region of Mont-Saint, M-O-N-T-S-A-N-T, Mont-Saint, the sacred mountain, as it were, kind of curves like a horseshoe around the outside, and on the inside of this little horseshoe is a region called Priorat. Priorat is home to some of the most treacherously steep vineyards in the world. It really is vertigo-inducing. I remember, not fondly, but I remember a day that I spent in the passenger side of a van traveling around these very, very tiny roads and basically looking straight down. And I got very, very nauseous. And the only way to solve that is to get out of the car, upon which time you're immediately confronted with the fact that you could easily fall to your death. So I don't know. But the wines are fabulous. And you see grapes like Grenache or Garnacha, yeah, and Mazuelo, which is what they call Carignan, Syrah, and you do see some native varietals as well. But these are wines that pack a punch, even in their littler expressions, and they're absolutely fantastic. So again, Priorat, Molsat, and there's some other wonderful regions in this part of the world, Conca de Barbera, and others that aren't as well known, and occasionally, you know, will have really, really cool expressions from some of these areas in the store. A lot of these places don't make a lot of wine, but of course, we're the sort of store that if anybody makes wine and it's good, we might actually have it in stock. So those are things to check out. Next week, we'll talk about Spain's most popular grape, Tempranillo, as well as what I call the Frenchianization of Spain. So that's next week. But for right now, I just want to reiterate before I run out of time that we are still doing at the store curbside pickup for those who want. If you want to come in the store, you'll have to wear a mask. If you absolutely cannot for health reasons, we will book an appointment for you to come in when no one else will be there, except us, of course. And we'll be masked, and you can feel free to be unmasked, but it'll have to be, you know, when there's no one else in the store, because, you know, that's the best we can do. Otherwise, I guess I just want to continue to thank people for being so absolutely wonderful, understanding, patient. It's much appreciated because there have been a lot of gray hairs popping up on my head with nerves about all this. So, yeah, thank you all. And I look forward to talking to you all next week.
Awesome. Hey, we appreciate it, Eric. Thank you. Be well, and we'll see you soon.
Excellent. Thanks, gentlemen. Be well. Bye-bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.